Good evening, and thank you for joining Congressman Steve Kagan's telephone town hall meeting. It's a beautiful spring evening in Wisconsin, so we'd like to thank all of you for taking time out of your busy schedules to visit with Dr. Kagan tonight. If you have a question for Congressman Kagan, simply dial *3 on your telephone. Again, if you wish to ask a question, dial *3, and we will connect you with an attendant. With that, thanks again for joining us for this telephone town hall meeting, and I'll turn it over to Dr. Kagan.
Thank you, Craig, and good evening to everyone. I really appreciate you giving me the time to listen to your concerns. I thought what I would do in tonight's telephone town hall is to give you a thumbnail description of where we're at economically and with regard to health care legislation, and not take up too much time so it would allow more people to enter in on this gigantic party line to get your questions in. We have over 1,000 people listening in. These are your neighbors that are in Waupaca and Menominee and Shawano counties and Oconto and Marinette and Vilas, Florence, and we're just getting people from Kewaunee, Door County as well. And I'm glad that you're taking part. This is your government, my duty. My job is to be your hired hand and to deliver your message as best I can in our nation's capital. We're still working our way through a worldwide economic downturn, the biggest downturn in our generation. And people have a right to be angry as to how we got into this mess. For the last 10 years, we've had net zero job creation. Every job that we've had has been disappearing because of this great recession. And why is that? Well, the previous administration delivered us two wars at the same time without paying a dime for it, two tax cuts to the rich without paying for it, a $400 billion handout to the big drug companies, and at the tail end of the last administration, a opening of the door of the Treasury, where our Treasury was, in my view, looted for nearly $1 trillion, something that I voted against. I stood up against the leadership of the previous administration and this one, not only in voting no against bailing out the banks and also bailing out failed entities, but also to stand up for jobs here in Northeast Wisconsin and across America. What we're looking at now is a significant deficit, not just of job creation, but also an economic deficit, something we're going to have to generate jobs so we can work our way all the way through this recession. We've lost 8 million jobs in the last administration, and we're 2 million jobs behind where we should be had we not fallen into this great economic decline. So we need to grow about 10 million new jobs and restore our economy. I believe we have to do three things. First and foremost, we have to live within our means in Washington the same way we do here in Northeast Wisconsin at our kitchen tables each and every month. We have to pay our debts. Secondly, we have to grow the jobs that we need and balance our trade deals as we work our way back into prosperity. And third, we have to fix what is broken in our health care system, guaranteeing that we fix what's broken and improve on what we already have at a price we can all afford to pay. Now, in order to live within our means, there are several things we have to do, one of which, probably the most critically important one, we've already done in the House, in the Senate, and the President signed it. It's pay-as-you-go rules. We have to live within our means there in Washington. We have to bring a bill to the floor, show exactly how we're either going to raise the revenue or cut back other spending programs to make certain that that piece of legislation can be paid for. The other ideas about living within our means and paying our debts, first and foremost, I think we ought to tax all the bonuses from anybody, any CEO on Wall Street that received bailout money. I'd like to use those revenues to help pay down our national debt. Another idea is to tax Wall Street speculators, the same people that drove our economy into the ditch, and use these revenues not only to pay down our existing debt, but also to grow new jobs and make available that revenue for the small businesses that are so important to creating the jobs. When these new jobs are created, they're not going to be coming from the government. They're not going to be government jobs. It's going to be free enterprise that we have to revitalize. And finally, with regard to paying off our debts, as you may have seen on the news today, we have to catch and punish all the crooks who looted our treasury. We want our money back. They took our money, we know where it is, and we need to get it back. That'll be a slow and painful process because we do have a judicial system, and that means it may take time not just to catch them, but also for them to go through our legal system. With regard to growing our jobs, Well, how are we going to do that? I've already voted for and enacted small business tax cuts to reward business owners for doing what's best for their business, pardon me, and also for creating jobs here at home. An infrastructure bank idea has been put forward. It's something I'm in favor of. We need to have an infrastructure bank that will fund state and local governments. We need about $178 billion of investment in our infrastructure locally here. And are you on the Medicare Advantage plan? You can afford to pay without having to go to the bank first. Next up, we've got Annabelle from Niagara. Good evening, Annabelle.
Good morning. Hi there. Will Medicare coverage be cut in any way with the new health plan, and will abortion be paid with the new health plan?
Well, in answer to your first question with regard to abortion, the Hyde Amendment, which has been in place for a long time, will remain intact, and that's the amendment that prevents any federal tax dollars going into abortion services. So nothing in the health care reform legislation moving forward would allow for federal dollars to be used for abortion services. And I think with regard to your other question about Medicare, there's a lot of waste in health care. Overall, there might be $700 billion of waste that we could eliminate over the next 10 years. This is not to say that going to the doctor is wasteful. It says that the way in which we have been organizing Medicare has been wasteful. There's fraud, there's abuse, and what the idea is to look at the Medicare Advantage program, which pays 14% higher for insurance companies to manage Medicare. And in Northeast Wisconsin, we're very fortunate to have the highest quality care available in the country at the most medium prices. So with Medicare Advantage plans in Northeast Wisconsin, they will survive. Those Medicare Advantage plans that are doing the right thing, that are taking care of people at a price they can afford to pay, they'll do well. But those Medicare Advantage plans that abuse the system will do poorly and should go away. So over time, we're going to evaluate the Medicare Advantage plans and those that score well with quality, as they do here in Northeast Wisconsin, they'll continue to survive, and those that do not will be made to go out of existence. So in answer to your question, quite simply, with regard to the Medicare Advantage plans, they will continue to exist here in Northeast Wisconsin. To express to you is that, Annabelle, with seniors and Medicare, under the president's ideas and those that I helped to promote in the House of Representatives, seniors will do very well because prevention services, such as a colonoscopy or a mammogram, will no longer have a copay or a deductible. We believe that prevention helps to save lives and money. And so prevention services will be covered by Medicare in the near future, something that they're not now doing. So thank you for bringing up these issues of both abortion and Medicare services. Thank you, Annabelle. And next we go to Rita in New London. Good evening, Rita.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
Good. How can we help you?
Well, I have a couple of questions. My first one is the military servicemen that are coming back are not getting the help that they need for post-traumatic stress or any other things that are going on. They're kind of being lost in the system. I want to know what you can do to correct that.
Okay, let me answer that question first. About 30% of our servicemen and women who come back from Iraq and Afghanistan have PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder. Sometimes it doesn't show up for years afterwards after they come home. And I met with General Shinseki, who's in charge of the VA on this subject, and he has committed increased funding for this to make sure that we have doctors and nurses available for PTSD, not just for the servicemen and women, but also for their families. I also worked hard to bring back to Northeast Wisconsin a new vet center, which is where the families of Gold Star mothers can go to receive the psychological assistance and help that they need to recover if ever they can from the loss of their child. So we have a new vet center, and we're increasing the funding for our veterans to make certain that we don't make the mistake that happened at the end of Vietnam happen again. And I'll just remind you that you may be younger than me, Rita, but at the end of the Vietnam conflict, while we had lost about 57 or 58,000 soldiers in combat in Vietnam, more than that number committed suicide after they had come home. So we must never allow that to happen ever again. And with regard to anyone listening who has a member in their family who has served or is now serving, first, I'd like to thank you on behalf of everyone across Northeast Wisconsin, all the 700,000 people I have the honor of representing. Thank you for your service. And remember, it's not just the soldier who's serving. Their entire family, their employer, their whole neighborhood is serving as well. So I would say in conclusion with regard to our military servicemen, in the 3 years I've been serving in the House of Representatives, we increased the funding for the VA by 77%. I was able also to negotiate for a new outpatient surgery to appear in Green Bay, something that will make it possible for our soldiers across Northeast Wisconsin to get the services they need here locally, close to home, without having to travel to Milwaukee. So, Rita, thank you for bringing up this very important subject, and we'll continue to have men and women with PTSD for as long as people still seek to solve their problems by making war. And your next question? Rita? Oh, Rita, we lost you. I'm sorry. If that was our fault, I apologize. But just as a footnote, we're using a private vendor on this. This is not a government program. Frank from New London. Thank you for calling in, Frank, and thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Good evening, Frank. How can we help you?
Well, I'm 66 years old, and I don't belong to any political party. I'm on Social Security and Medicare. I heard the president say when this first started that if you liked your doctor and if you liked your plan, you could keep them. Well, I got a Medicare Advantage plan. I like it. But now I'm hearing them say they're going to do away with that unless I live in Florida.
No, it might be just the opposite. Many of the plans, here's what's going on, and there's a great deal of confusion about this. You're now being covered by an excellent plan, something that you appreciate, you get good service, and on top of that, it's at a price we can afford to pay. We're very fortunate here in Northeast Wisconsin to have some of the top doctors in the country, let alone in the world. So our Medicare Advantage plans are going to do fine, and indeed they're going to be rewarded. When the quality care is measured, then we know the outcomes. Those Medicare Advantage plans that are doing well will be rewarded and indeed will be paid more. They'll get a bonus for taking care of you and focusing on prevention. So I would reassure you that you'll be able to keep your current doctor, and hopefully your doctor's as young as you are.
She's a lot younger, she is.
Oh, she's younger. Well, there you go. She's got to learn a lot from you. One of your jobs, though, is to go in and see her regularly, keep your appointments, Frank, and then give her the education that she needs.
My other concern is, Senator, taking $500 billion out of Medicare and adding $30 million more people to the health care thing, I think you insult my intelligence if you say you don't have to ration care and that you can afford this without raising taxes or somehow drumming up more money from China.
Well, you're quite right that everyone should be concerned, but the focus has to be on rooting out and eliminating all the waste in the system. Some of that should come with medical malpractice reform, so doctors don't have to practice defensive medicine. We can order fewer tests and make certain that the cost goes down. And there's another element in the previous bill, and keep in mind that no one has seen the new bill yet. We know kind of what's going to be in there because we saw something pass the Senate and something pass the House, but somewhere in between we have to take the 80% that everybody agrees on and put that into a final bill. But what I wanted to mention, apart from the elimination of waste, is the fact that there's going to be something in this new bill, at least people want to put it in, that I have a great deal of questions about, and that has to do with the this idea of a medical home, where you would go to a primary care doctor like you're doing now, and then that primary care doctor would help to determine where you're going to go next, rather than you having the freedom to choose what specialist you would want to go to. So I have a question about that because, as you may recall, if you've lived here as long as I have, you know, back in the 1980s, we went through this idea of managed care and HMOs that really rationed care. And I don't want... Yeah, I did not. I do not want the medical home to be the new name of managed care and HMOs. So as the doctor in the house, I'm going to have an eagle eye on this and make certain that it's not an experiment, that it's actually something that can be proven to be effective in delivering higher quality care at the lowest price possible. And let me mention this other thing. I'm a big believer in transparency in terms of pricing, and I put forward a bill that would say that all doctors and hospitals and insurance companies and drug companies and pharmacies must at all times openly disclose all their prices. And I'll use you as an example. If your doctor, Frank, orders an MRI on your knee and you go into the hospital to get the picture taken, I want you to see that that facility accepts full payment at $2,000, $1,500, and $400. So you can then ask, hey, wait a minute, I don't want the $2,000 picture. I'll have the same picture for $400. You get where I'm going? We need to have, we got to have transparency in pricing, and most especially with regard to the insurance companies. If you take a large employer, well, let's take the old name of Hillshire, and you know what that means. If Hillshire got a big discount from an insurance company, I want the whole town to know what that discount is so that a single mother who lives two blocks away from the factory, either if it's New London or Green Bay or wherever, I want everybody else to see that they got a deal. I want everyone to get that same skinny deal, not the fat deal. So I don't want prices to be hidden, because the way I look at healthcare, it's sort of upside down in America. If you have no insurance at all and you go to the hospital, you're going to get the big bill. If you got insurance, they give you a discount. So one of the big ideas in healthcare reform is to change the rules on health insurance companies. Make sure they can't cheat, manipulate the price in the marketplace. Take away their exemption from these antitrust laws. That means they can be prosecuted for manipulating the price or not competing fairly on a level playing field. And just think of what we're going to have. When we finally have a situation where each and every insurance company must sell the same piece of paper, the same health care benefit plan, and they have to show you all of their prices, and they can't say no to you because of any pre-existing condition. That day is going to come soon, but it won't come soon enough for me, and it won't come at all if we remain silent. So one of the things I'd thank you for, Frank, if you were at any of my listening sessions during August, some of them were a bit intense, some of them were a bit surly, but at least the voice of Northeast Wisconsin was heard, and I delivered that same message to Washington, and we've improved the bill. So, Frank, thank you so much for your question, and look forward to seeing you on the road.
Yep.
We now go to Carol in Crandon. Carol, how's Crandon doing today?
Well, it's very beautiful here, so that's an early nice spring present. My concerns are the following. I'm just turned 67, and I decided to go with some Medicare Advantage programs. And first, I was in an Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield, which was $62, and I don't have any medications that I'm using it now, and that was suggested to me as a good entry place to start. And within less than a year, I received a notice from Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. They were discontinuing that affordable plan. And then I went into an AdvoCare plan that had a prescription drug component to it. And for a year, it was $130. And then I was recently informed that it went up to $13 a month to $143, but what really concerned me was the out-of-pocket.
When the legislation that went through the House, at least, was would get enacted, first and foremost, we would end this families. So I think I want to reassure you that the Medicare Advantage plans will be scrutinized, will be evaluated for the quality of their care, and those that live up to the expectations of high quality at low cost will survive. And furthermore, the benefits to all people in Medicare will go up. They're going up because prevention will be emphasized. You mentioned that these out-of-pocket expenses for prevention care, well, that's no longer going to exist. In other words, you're not going to have to pay for prevention that will be included in the Medicare program. So we're improving the benefits of Medicare and going after and eliminating all the waste that we possibly can.
My other concern was that if, you know, these costs keep rising, not only my, you know, what I have to pay monthly, you know, but more out of...
And I have co-signed onto a... It's not fair trade or free trade. I want the B word, balanced trade. If China sends us a ship with $50 million worth of materials that they've made for sale in our country, they should empty the ship, and then the Chinese people should purchase $50 million worth of goods that we've manufactured. We have to balance our trade deals or we're going to continue to lose our jobs. And make no mistake about it, though, Wall Street doesn't want balanced trade. They will seek the lowest cost of producing anything. They went from Mexico to China. Now they're leaving China and going over to Vietnam, and they can make it for even less over there. The companies do that for one reason. They have to or they're out of business. I had a conversation with Michael Dell who said, Kagan, I'm competing with IBM. If I don't get it for a lower price, I'll be out of business. So I think what we have to do is to ship our values overseas, not our jobs. And the way we do that is to renegotiate our trade deals. And I've stood up to the current president on this subject. I don't agree with his trade policy. I do agree that trade is great for our economy, but it's got to be balanced. And you got a second question also, Larry? Oh, Larry, sorry. John, how are you tonight? You're in Kewaunee?
Thank you, Mr. Kagan, for taking my call. I appreciate it. I had a couple questions for you. One is, why are Democrats so against tort reform and crossing state lines for health insurance purchases? And if this deal is so good, why do we have to have special deals for Nebraska, Louisiana, and Florida to get their congressmen to vote on it?
Okay, hang on. Let me answer that straight away. I completely agree with you. And I have promoted legislation since the day I got to Washington to have competition open and fair competition across state lines, not just for health insurance, but also for medical malpractice insurance. And with regard to that Nebraska deal, that thing's going to get punched out pretty darn quick, and we do have states' rights, and all states should be treated equally. So, like I say, I'm totally in agreement with you on that regard. And I'm a doctor. I understand what tort reform means. And one of my roommates is a trial attorney. So I said, hey, listen, Bruce, he's from Iowa. I said, Bruce, if you and I can come to an agreement, a trial attorney, a doctor, maybe we make some headway on this. And I said, how does this sound? If a doctor or a hospital has practiced and given care that's in the standard of care for that given community, and something bad happens, it's not their fault. Sometimes you can do the right thing and you have a bad outcome. If the doctor has done nothing wrong and the hospital's done nothing wrong, shouldn't they be held harmless and immune to any kind of spurious litigation and lawsuits? And Bruce said, well, you know, Steve, I've made a living defending doctors that have not followed the Florida, where it's more of a casino, the defense of medicine and tort reform across state lines must take place. And you got another quick question, John? Nope. Well, there goes John. Sorry we couldn't get to the second one. Dwayne from Gillett, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I told our leadership that it ought to be real simple to set this up, and maybe the government doesn't even have to do it. Because if you have your Social Security or health benefits should apply to members of Congress just as much as it does to the people that they're in the same boat. This country was based upon the idea of equality, and we're never going to be a perfect nation, but we got to keep working towards it. And in my little experience I've had working for you out there, I can tell you this, that if it makes sense, it's going to be hard to do equal treatment, and that's something I'd like to bring to an end. But I appreciate you calling in tonight, and I do miss my medical practice. I used to be able to help people really quick. Now it takes time. You got another quick question?
I have another. For years I've wondered why the government did not simply take care of elderly people as they get older with their eyes, ears, feet, and teeth and you'd have hardly any problems with elderly people if those things were taken care of. They could see good, they wouldn't be falling down, they could hear better, they could eat better, take care of themselves, and it would just be a simple thing, more or less. And because, as you know, as people get older, it costs more and more and more to take care of them because of all these other problems.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to get an insurance company to pay hardly anything toward any of this, eat glasses or anything, you know.
Well, it's coming down to cost, and I want to make two comments about that. First of all, one of the big holes in this health care legislation that's moving through Washington is dental services are real light. You know, if you got a healthy mouth, you got a healthy body. And I think we have to take another look at this. This may be, you know, this is going to be the first step in reforming health care. It's got to be something that works. It's got to be something we can afford. And definitely we got to include the whole body. In my view, if it's in your body, it should be covered, whether it's your eyes, your teeth, your feet, as you say. But we may not get it all done in one fell swoop. We might have to take just a little piece at a time, even though some people think this is one gigantic leap forward. I would like to see dental services applied to this, but it's just not going to make it in this first time around. So thank you again for your comments, and I'll keep working hard for you. Let me remind everybody that when we wind this thing down, to stay on the line and then leave a voice message so I can get back to you with my staff as quickly as possible. We now go to Waupaca and Chad. Chad, how can we help you tonight?
Well, how you doing, Dr. Kagan?
I think I'm going to make it through the day.
Well, that's perfect.
Yes, it's personal responsibility. That has to be thrown in there, and it's a whole education process. There was a report that came out a couple days ago that showed that children who are on a food stamp program and have meals at school are heavier than those kids that aren't. And that's not because of the food they're eating at school. It's primarily because they're not getting the choices at home, the good choices of fruits and vegetables. And I worked real hard on the Farm Bill a couple years ago to make sure that we had fruits and vegetables within our nutritional program.
That's great. What have you done, or what is being done right now in Washington to reduce the subsidy on corn, where you know you get a lot of the high fructose corn syrup, and transfer that to healthier or even organic fruits and vegetables, which could solve and save healthcare tons of money?
Yeah, we've already begun discussions on the next Farm Bill about how to scale back some of these direct payments to farmers who are not losing money. They're making money, and they still get checks. And we're looking as well at whether or not corn will continue to qualify, or sugar and beets. But, you know, keep in mind that the chairman of agriculture is in the beet area, and so it's going to take all of us working together. But I'm going to focus my efforts on health and nutrition, and just like you would agree with me, Chad, we are what we eat. And having said that, you know, when any patient at all that themselves can afford to pay for the care, employer can't afford it any longer, and nor can our whole economy. So in this time of the Great Recession, as we work our way from, Dolores, thank you for calling in tonight. How can we help you?
Well, you answered part of my question from Carol, money. So I am hoping that the health care bill there that I'd like.
Well, let me get right to the point about
them, to give them peace of mind.
You say that your family, your extended family, has 45 employees, 2014. So mm-hmm. What we're talking about is something, we're going to take a positive step in the right direction, hopefully getting it right, and then as we go down this road, you're going to find that a family of four who might be making $44,000 a year.
She kept changing policies because the increases kept going up for their family policy, that I couldn't believe it when she told me they have a $15,000 deductible, $5,000 for the first three people, then $5,000 again for the next three, and somehow they jacked them for another five.
We have to eliminate corporations from our elections and from our government. It was a battle he took on in 1910. Here we are, 100 years later, we're fighting the same. And Link, how are you tonight?
Good.
How can we help you?
Government employees get better benefits than a private sector, and as you know, private sector people have been taking pay cuts or their hours been cut, and why can't the government employees do the same thing?
Yep, I hear where you're going. But don't assume in the private sector. We head forward, and I'm going to reassure you that I'm going to take a hard look and scrutinize the bill when it comes becomes available to make sure that I want to thank you for tuning in tonight, and please address any questions you may have on this.